despair, and then I see so many people just willing to stand up for the country that they live in and the truth that they believe, and still a country who, in God we trust. Still on the money. Means a lot. Still on the money. You know, and then election time, and oh, I know it'll be difficult, and people will be having their opinions, and they'll be making statements, and you'll see things on the airwaves, and I still believe that and you will probably disagree with me, some of you, and I still believe that our elected officials, we should pray for them. We should lift them up. We should ask that God would give them wisdom and a sense of responsibility for what God has allowed them the position they're in. I know for when you have those that answer you, it's kind of different. I know if you're a parent and you have a child, and that child learns so much from you. Abraham Lincoln said that the greatest book that he'd ever read was his mother. I believe it. For those of you that have been given responsibilities in your job and you have coworkers and they answer to you, you make a difference. They watch you. You can treat them with compassion, with warmth. And it'll make a difference in their lives. Those of you with wonderful, large families, and I would venture to say that Miss Ruby probably has us all beat on that, I'm not sure. Do you have, when you walk in her house, she has a large picture. If you put two pictures up now, can you get them all in that one picture over there?
It's okay.
I love it when we refer to their family as a mob scene. When you walk in and you see that, she and Joe had great responsibility, and they took that responsibility to heart. You're simply teaching a small classroom. You're simply leading fellows to sing. No matter what God has given you, I believe that we can make a difference in people's lives. If we ask for wisdom from Him, so that we can treat others with tender hearts and just make sure that you, and I know we all have our political views. When we traveled, it's been a couple months ago, down to Orange, Virginia, we went down to hear Brother Mark Trammell. And we went down to eat the meal because they had a meal early. We wanted to go eat. We wanted to try their food. We walked into the basement. And we were moved by the sign on the wall in the basement. Anybody remember what that sign said? What did it say? What did it say? It said, "Be sweet." Big old sign on the wall. And I go, boy, that's my kind of church. Telling you to simply be sweet. I know you got opinions. I know you got things that you feel passionately about. But you still have to be sweet in the way that you deal with others. I believe in strong singing. Boy, we were making a noise. We made that one eyebrow move, and we were proud about it. I like preaching that is from God's Word. And it applies to our hearts. There are leaders and there are people who speak simply to be heard. In my lifetime, I've heard great public speakers. But then I have heard people who are leaders. Public speakers speak to be heard. Leaders, I believe, they speak to touch the hearts of people. Might not be so polished, but God will use it. And in everything we do, let's try to be sweet, warm, tender, compassionate. You don't know what somebody around you may be going through. You don't know what sorrow they may harbor inside. See, I'm giving you the sermon before I give you the scripture. But it's all the same. I have tried in my mind, in my heart, and you know, it's a good Sunday to talk about this because we just got the folks here. You know, we got the folks. We can just, you know me, I know you. I'm not going to impress you. You always impress me by simply showing up. But we know that God has placed within us a wonderful gift. What do I do with that gift? How do I take what I read? How do I take what I hear? And how do I apply it in my life in a way where God can use it to affect others? I don't know that little formula, but I'm learning. I'm less concerned about getting it all right. I'm more concerned about what people are saying from their hearts, how God is doing a work. And I hate to tell you, I'm more excited now than I've ever been in my life about what God is doing. Because I see people that are just changing and they're growing. I see people that have come a long way. I see people that are more concerned about the individuals and what's going on in the lives of people around them than about their own concerns. In the book of James, we talked about our greeting last week. We talked about if any of us need wisdom to ask of God and He will give freely. Today in the 12th verse of the first chapter, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. There's a lot of things out there that are blamed on God, isn't it? You know what I'm talking about? Boy, every time I listen to the radio, surfing the internet, when you hear all this stuff is going on, these things that are going on, and they just touch your heart. Countries that allow children. I don't know what the number was, 100 in a majority, or I don't know how many they actually counted in the end, of how many children slaughtered. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can take such a low opinion of life. I believe the strength of this great United States of America is our trust in God. I believe if revival is to begin in this country, it will begin in the churches in America. I said it just recently, and somebody said, oh, I never heard that before. Well, It's worth saying again, I think if you want to start revival, you take a piece of chalk, go out and just draw a circle. I would go all the way around, but my knee hurts. I can only give you partial mobility today. But when you draw that circle all the way around you and you stand in the middle of it, inside of that circle is where revival begins. It begins with you and I. It begins with us fully realizing that God is on our side and He is not to be blamed. He is not to be blamed for things that people just draw out of the air randomly. There's a lot of people just mad at God. Anybody outside yesterday? I'm surprised you came to church. Some of you didn't. That's okay. It was an absolutely glorious day. I've seen pretty days, not many any prettier than they were yesterday. The temperature was low. The humidity was non-existent. I could do something with my hair. Oh, come on. I thought you'd get a chuckle out of that. And for those of you who were not led, I was led in the afternoon to play a few holes of golf. Oh, beautiful, 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 beautiful. My buddy Jim, he was with me, and he asked me to drop him off at this little celebration they had for this wonderful teenage girl graduating, going on to Virginia Tech. Oh, it's wonderful. Just a perfect day for it. Perfect day. And you know how those days make you feel? They just make you feel tremendous, don't they? I mean, you know, we say, well, and the weather shouldn't be. Trust me, this is one of those days that just make you feel good all over. And I headed back on Route 2, and I was just feeling good. I pulled up behind this Mustang, red, top down. Fella's sitting in it there, and I said, oh my, how nice to be in a convertible on such a beautiful day. I mean, this is just perfect. The light changed green, and I sat there. He sat there. I guess he's busy or something like that. Wasn't quite paying attention. And I waited a couple seconds, and I tapped the horn. The wrong thing to do. The wrong thing to do. This individual was not happy at all with me on tapping the horn because the light had turned green. He must have thought I was deaf because he started giving me hand signals about his disapproval. His disapproval with me that I had the audacity to tap my horn because the light had turned green. How am I going to react? What's your first inclination? I'm going to grab that. How dare he? I'm the one that's right. But be kind, be sweet. I hate when they preach back to me. That's not how this is supposed to work. Yeah. But you're right. And just as quickly as I could feel anger dwelling up within me, and just as quickly I thought, how sad. This is a gentleman in his car, and he's young. Well, anybody who has dark hair, I consider him to be young. Middle-aged, sitting there, and he had hair to actually feel that breeze going through with the top down. What a wonderful, glorious day to be in that situation. And how quickly he was angered. And I felt sorry for him. And as he sped off down the road, still, he was not glorifying me, I can guarantee you that. I thought to myself, God, I wonder what's going on in his life that's allowing him to respond in a way that just was, I was baffled about. And usually if you find an individual who reacts in a way, those of you that have kind of learned, usually there's something else going on a little deeper under the surface. We don't know. Many times people, and boys, how quickly. And really, it's not that thing at all. It's something else that's going on. So you should be proud of me. After a little scolding unto myself, I said, God, be with him. Don't let him run off being mad and get in some accident or something. In this chapter, it tells us over in the 22nd verse, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How do I become a doer of God's word? How do I allow His Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, direct me? How do I overcome that part of myself that I'm not so proud of? I mean, in an instant, I went through a whole repentance thing. One side of me, I'm going to pull up beside Him. I'm going to get out this car. I'm going to limp over there. He's going to see this gray hair. He's going to see a guy come limping up towards him like this. You think about it. In them days, you know, Chester's after me. That's what he's going to think. But then in my heart, I knew, no, something's going on there. And you just ought to pray. This morning on the way here, I heard that fellow passed away that I've always been a big fan of. And you may not have known his name or not. His name was Richard Dawson. 79 years old, passed away of cancer. And when I was young, we used to always watch this show called Hogan's Heroes. Silly show, but I enjoyed it. But I much more enjoy when he was on the television doing this Family Feud. And we surveyed 100 people, and the top 5 answers are, but also he'd go down the line, and every woman he would greet them how? With a little kiss. And he said, and he told an interview one time, he says, I do that to kind of calm them down because I feel they're nervous being on the show. He says, but you know, I've kissed over 1,000 women, I imagine. One of the perks of the job. I don't know that much about his personal life, but I know that when I'd see him, I would always smile. I just enjoyed watching him on television. This life we have is not guaranteed. People pass away so suddenly, and we have a responsibility to be thankful for the time that God does give us. The people that He allows us to come in contact with. And the question is, how can we apply ourselves to be doers, not only hearers of the word? How can what we read, how can what we hear, how many sermons have you heard in your life? You may respond with bunches. And some of you have a lot more bunches than others that you've heard. Maybe they were good sermons. Maybe not so good. Little boy, preacher would come out from behind the pulpit and head out the back of the church to shake everyone's hands. They came out. A little boy reached deep in his pocket and he pulled out the only coin he had. It was a small dime. He handed it to the preacher. The preacher's so moved. Little boy says, I thought you might need this. Because my father says you're the poorest preacher he ever heard. Now, I don't know what kind of sermons you've heard. But I tell you one thing, we have a responsibility to take what we hear and put it into action in our lives. We need to be doers of the word, not only hearers. And I want to tell you something. I'm so proud of you because I believe in each and every one of you are doers of the word. How do you be a doer? When you know somebody's struggling because their mom is so sick, they send emails back and forth. Praying for that individual and sharing that is a doer of the word. When there's a need, you jump in. When somebody's down, you don't let them stay down. You're going to say, folks, we're going to help you back up. We're not going to jump on you when you're at lowest point. That's the time when we got to pray harder. We've got to be even more gentle, more responsible within our hearts for the burdens of others. And I'm proud of you. It's kind of a different sermon today. If anybody hands me a dime, you're going to be on my list. But you know what I'm trying to say? In just a moment, we're going to serve communion. What a beautiful time. We ask that you just wait and just be ever so quiet if possible. And concentrate on what God has done for us. I feel that we're the most fortunate people in the world. God saw fit to save us, sent his son to die upon a cross. He also saw fit to allow us to come into a small church where I believe that we've built some of the warmest friendships that I've ever known. He saw fit also to allow us to be with a group that will pray for you, pray for me. When people are gone, we miss them. When we come back, we're tickled to see them. So I think that we simply should be thankful to God. And the best way that we can do that is the true meaning of this, thanking Him for what He did, and then taking everything we hear and trying to put it into action in what we do for Him. Amen.